like she's never soared before. From rocky coast to golden shore, let the mighty eagle soar, soar with healing in her wings, as the land beneath her sings.
The soothing tones of John Ashcroft in the background there. What do you think about that, Ray?
He sucks.
And worse.
Welcome to the CCCP. That's the Christmas Coup Comedy Players. First Thursday of the month, Laughing Nightmare. With Randy Credico, David Dozer, John McDonough, Elizabeth McDonough, Mark Kehoe, Moogie Klingman, Lindley Farley, Scooter, The Happy Tones, Ingrid Helt, 60 Mimics, Chris Gouris, and me, Janet Coleman, and special guest Reno. You know, hi, gang. We are,
our
tentacles are spreading everywhere now.
Randy, maybe you can relay your experience in Los Angeles.
I was in California driving around, going to a Lysistrata performance by Julie Christie and Alfre Woodard, seriously, in Santa Monica, and I'm listening to the 6 o'clock news, the free speech news, and after a couple news reports, lo and behold, they went to the ranch in Crawford, and it was the one where Bush's son, George's son.
Uh-huh.
You know, the one that Chris Matthews had on the other day, he had George Bush Sr. on, and I'm going to talk to these guys in a couple minutes about what they think about this war that may be happening. Do you think that Amy Goodman should spend her time over there or her time over here, and we'll talk, and how many times can she say her name in a one-hour broadcast? We're going to ask Chris Matthews that in about 5 minutes. Now, in the meantime... So what do they have? What do they have? They have the bit with Bush knocking over 14 cans.
The cans, that's right.
And yeah. Remember the one where my son?
The Christmas Coup Comedy Players now take you to Crawford, Texas, where Vice President Dick Cheney is meeting with President Bush and Condoleezza Rice.
Jesus said it's easier for a camel to get through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to get to the gates of heaven.
Well, that's very discouraging, Mr. President.
I figured that out. And I figured out what Jesus was talking about there, Dick.
Well, what was Jesus talking about, Mr. President?
Jesus meant you need to get a really huge needle.
Oh.
And a really little camel wouldn't hurt either.
Well, that's a good point.
A really big needle. Giant needle. Comprende, senora?
Si, senore, presidente. Yo comprendo.
Muy bueno. I love your Mexican. You speak it very well.
Thank you.
Is everything set with the war with Iraq there, Dick?
Yeah, well, I spoke to the VFW and the veterans of the Korean conflict. They are solidly behind us.
Good, good. That's really muy bueno.
Yes.
It's a lot of buenos there.
Yes, it is.
However, I think they may be too old to fight.
Oh.
How can they fight a war?
Remember, Mr. President, we're calling it a regime change, not a war.
Oh, thanks for the reminder, Condi. I had to call for a regime change at my local 7-Eleven when they ran out of pretzels. I was trying to figure out the big needle thing with Jesus and the camel, and suddenly, no pretzels.
Oh, that's tough.
You know, the pretzel represents a small child with its arms crossed in prayer. Did you know that?
Oh, hallelujah, Mr. President.
Now, who is with us on our plans for a regime change in Iraq, Dick?
England, Mr. President.
Of course, England. We knew that.
Hmm.
Who else is with us besides England there, Dick?
Well, that's it, Mr. President. Just England.
What?
Yeah. That's about it.
I hope you don't mean to tell me that other countries in the world actually oppose our war with Iraq.
Regime change,
damn it.
So far, only 14 countries oppose our plans for a regime change in Iraq.
Okay, one country with us and 14 countries with the terrorists. That's what you're saying?
Well, 14 countries oppose us, Mr. President.
No, they're either with us, Dick. You listen to me. They're either with us or they're with the terrorists.
I agree.
Okay. Now, do me a favor, Dick.
Yeah.
Take these 14 empty beer cans out of the bag and line them up on the fence over there. See over there?
Yes, certainly, Mr. President.
On top. Go ahead.
Okay.
Where did all the empty beer cans come from, Mr. President?
Well, I did too big a blast. I had to wash it down before I had some kind of pain in my heart. Would you believe it? I'm just joking.
I've lined up the 14 beer cans, Mr. President.
All right, get back over here, Dick. Okay. We're going to have some fun. Get over here.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
My, what a beautiful collection of handguns, Mr. President.
Now take the pearl-handled Beretta, Condon.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Well, okay, we'll take turns, Condon. You start with the ones on the left. I'll go with the ones on the right. Dick, you start us off with the name of a country and its reason for opposing our plans for a regime change in Iraq.
Okay, Germany, Mr. President, has ruled out German soldiers taking part in any American adventure in Iraq.
Oh, that's great, great. Mm-hmm. Damn. All right, Condon, deal with the Germans right now.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Get rid of them. Yes, Mr. President.
Good shot there. Good shot there. Beautiful.
Thank you, Mr.
Okay,
President.
Okay, now give me a country, Dick.
Well, Jordan, Mr. President, feels a U.S. strike would be a tremendous mistake.
What's Jordan? What's Jordan?
I don't know.
Is that a country?
Yes, it is.
Okay. What part of the Mideast is it?
Well, it's over.
All right, line it up.
Okay. Now, Russia says they are against military scenarios and urge a search for a political solution.
Good shot, Condon. Next, Dick.
Canada wants proof Saddam plans to attack the West.
Screw him. All right.
Good shot, Mr. President.
All right, keep going, Dick. Keep them coming.
Okay, Japan says...
Who cares about those slant
out? They want restraint in dealing with Iraq.
I don't care. All right, get rid of them.
Okay.
Get rid of
them. Now, Italy...
Goddamn Italians, too.
Well, they don't see any proof of Iraq.
They don't fight for anybody. Well, they all surrender. All right.
Yemen...
I don't care about Yemen. Well, give it to me. Okay. Get rid of it. Get rid
all
of
right.
Yemen.
Australia. Fine. Now, China,
they speak Japanese. I don't care. Shoot them.
Actually, don't. And now, Egypt.
Egypt,
says
part of Yemen. I don't care, man. I don't care. Eat part of Yemen.
Now, Bahrain has expressed their determination.
What's a Bahrain? What is a Bahrain?
France.
I know where that is. Yes, and they must be on our side.
They want the UN in on that.
What?
First. That's what.
Give me a shotgun. All right.
Now, hold on. Turkey.
Kill the goddamn turkeys.
Well, I don't like it either. Okay. And Saudi Arabia.
Saudi Arabia.
That would shake peace and stability in the region.
All right. Get rid of.
Well, that's it. That's all 14 of them.
We got them all, Mr.
President. Well, we got rid of them. Now it's one on our side. Yeah. And everyone else is on the floor.
Well, you know, this kind of teamwork, you know, bodes well for our plans for world domination.
You got that right, Dick.
Yeah.
Hey, let's go inside and hit the bong. I think the sod has left me a couple of pounds of that Primo hashish.
She's never soared before from Rocky Coast.
Talking about knock those things over.
That's
you,
the guy.
You and him were on the firing line. And Cheney was lighting up the cans. I remember like I was in Kansas. I'm landing on...
Condi had a little pistol.
Yeah, and that was on in California.
That's
Free Speech
right.
Radio. That was very nice.
Peace Watch.
They just had that little excerpt in the CCP Comedy Players.
So we are being carried on Peace
and
Watch. And we were on
now?
The other night.
Yes.
And I'll tell you something else. We will be playing on Tuesday monthly. Tuesday following the Thursday on KPFT in Houston, Pacifica Station in Houston. We will be on at noon then. And we're playing also in Albuquerque, New Mexico at QNM in Utica and British Columbia.
Well, what do you think you're going to be on MSNBC? We'd like to have you on the show just for a couple of minutes. We're going to do our colors tour. We're going to go up to Utica. Maybe you guys can come on for just a minute. Let me ask you, Donald Rumson, what you think. Thank you so much. I don't really like the way you comb your hair.
And then we have
Gene Kirkpatrick, our favorite person, coming
1986.
Thank you.
President.
Welcome from Hamburg. You got back in just today. I'm going to ask you a question. Do you think you're going to win this war in a couple days? 3, 4, 5, 6? We're going to go to break first.
We're
we'll get back to you.
It.
Thank you very much, Gene Kirkpatrick.
Okay.
Great to be here tonight. I'm very thrilled to be here. We got a couple people in the room. We're going to get everyone. They're going to get a couple pauses in, maybe a couple breaths in, but not a lot of words in, okay? I'm going to be all the talking.
Thank you. That's enough. Shut up.
Piece of crap.
All right, should we go to the first bit? One of our most popular bits is the celebrity shout-out line here at WBAI.
So it is.
And we're always amazed by who calls into the celebrity shout-out line. And today,
nine cops from San Francisco, maybe.
No, we have a human shield from Iraq. The Pope is checking in today. Michael Jackson will be checking in from Never Never Land. And we finish up with Mr. Rogers calling in from up above. But I think we'll go now to the shout-out line.
Hi, this is Elizabeth, one of the human shields still left in Iraq. I am not like those winds that turned tail and left last week. Saddam has been very nice to me and is letting me protect his anthrax flag. How cool is that? Well, I have have to go now. I see it's some American rain coming down.
Next message.
This is a shout out from the Holy Father of the Church to Mr. Rogers. He's being up in heaven now. I want to tell you something, Mr. Rogers. The whole clergy is going to miss you very much because you really know how to sweet talk the children and to get the children to go into the church by being such a nice sweetheart and talking to them so gentle. You have that zip-up cardigan and all those bad songs that nobody, no adults could stand. But that's how they could get close to the children, because you know, so nice and sweet to them. And all the clergies all over the world, they're thanking you for that. It sounds like maybe I'm going to see you soon, Mr. Rogers. Okay, bye-bye.
Next message.
This is Michael Jackson with a special shout-out from Mr. Roberts, who's up in heaven now. I knew you'd get in there real quick, Mr. Roberts. You've always been such a great inspiration to me, teaching me how to talk to the children and how to bring them closer to me and make them a part of my life. Mr. Rogers, I just want to thank you. But I also want to ask you a question. I'm thinking of having another baby and naming my baby Tourniquet. 'Cause you know, Tourniquet, that means something good in my family. Tourniquet is like when you're bleeding and you stop the bleeding. Do you think that's a good name, Mr. Rogers? Can you hear me, Mr. Rogers?
It's a beautiful day in this neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? It's a neighborly day in this beautiful.
We now take you live to the Oval Office, where Vice President Dick Cheney and National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice are meeting with the President of the United States, George W. Bush.
I've asked you two before, and I'm asking you again, right in the middle of a prayer. I'm praying this morning, praying all morning. I'm going to ask you to help me with the problem of the dead babies.
I am not aware of a dead babies problem, Mr. President.
Well, the dead babies problem is exaggerated by the liberals.
Well, the liberals exaggerate every problem, Dick.
Yes, they do.
The dead babies problems occur when extreme liberals like Dr. Helen Calderot, whatever her name is, announce that my war or my peace mission with Iraq, well, we're not at war with the Iraqi people, we're at war with the people of Iraq. They believe these liberals, these radicals, are going to kill a lot of babies.
Stop the presses. War kills babies.
Gag me with a spoon.
my war, I believe, is going to kill a lot more than just babies.
Well, yes, yes, Mr. President. Mr. President. Yes.
It's going to kill evil people. Evil people, people that walk around with turbans, with weapons inside those turbans. People that give us dirty looks. People that throw sand in the faces of GIs that show up.
Yes.
People tell you that they went to Yale,
yes,
too. People who think they could be president of the United States. United States. One of these days I'm going to use a U in that. United States. My war in Iraq will not only kill babies, hopefully will kill lawyers.
Protect us for president. They want that nincompoop protect us.
That was my favorite, was them, because they wanted to put a dairy farm. A dairy farm.
where the World Trade Center was. I love that idea, a dairy farm, because, you know, bring the country to the city, because I myself don't like the country. I'm embarrassed by the country. It hurts my feelings, the country. You know, people always like, oh, the city is so, you know, unhealthy. It's, you know, please. When was the last time you got poison sumac sitting watching The Lion King on 42nd Street? Don't give me that. Oh, the city is so dirty. What is that all around your house in the country, huh? Dirt, all right? Is it dirt? That's exactly what. In the city, we've got an all-purpose covering. Got cement, right? You can wash it off. You wash the dirt. What does it become? Huh? Mud, exactly. No, but I would love that, to have a little dairy farm down our block. You know, have all those, like, gateway computer boxes with little swishy tails. It's a great idea. But now, as it turns out, they're not going to do a dairy farm. They have this, like, this guy. What's his name? He's got, like, a German name. His design was just picked. The design. Everybody was saying, no, don't build it back up. Don't act like, oh, you knocked us down. We're going to come up and get you again. No. Put something flat, something sort of breastle on there. Something, well, I mean, if you're a skinny dancer type, breastle, you know what I'm saying. But, you know, something a little bit less, you know, hey, we're going to get you back. But instead, no. There's going to be the tallest buildings in the world. Yet again, Liebeskind, I think the guy's name was, you know, which means, you know, good kid, I think, except for no longer at this point. No, I'm sure he's a lovely guy. After all, he's an architect, and they are devoid of any political contact, except for it was funny that there one, there was a dictator in the middle of the 20th century, and his architect was as famous as almost he was. But that's not what I'm referencing, naturally not. But what I wanted to say is that it is going to be a third of a mile again, and frankly, I'm not that happy with that.
Living in tender hand, nature is a friend. What you send a friend? Garbage. We are the fishes. Please keep your sludge. Thank you very much. My name is Bambi. The forest is my bed. Please don't leave your litter or your cigarette. Keep the water pure. Keep the forests green. Keep the birds and the trees and the fishes in the seas. Stop all the want. Stop all the haste. Put a stop to all this terrible waste. Shout it out loud. Ring every bell. Don't make our planet a living hell. Our planet is so cool, it really is hot. It gives us all the things we've got. Lift your voice, open your eyes.
Along with the countries of the British Commonwealth, one of the staunchest supporters of the United States, one of its most steadfast allies in the United Nations, one of its bastions of freedom in Eastern Europe, one of its bulwarks in the fight for democracy is Bulgaria. As the Bulgarian ambassador explained only a few days ago to the C-SPAN caller who asked, how will Bulgaria benefit from a war in Iraq?
We're going to make big, strong infrastructure. We make good in Bulgaria. We're going to build in Iraq. After American bomb, blow everything up. Boom, boom, boom.
We're here in Perth Amboy, New Jersey, with Vladimir D. Impaler, a Bulgarian. How would you describe yourself, Mr. Impaler?
A special consultant, a freelance contractor. I was cab driver, and now I no work. But wait for war to be over, then we will work.
But you are a citizen of Bulgaria.
Bulgaria, beautiful country. We have many, many sunflower. We make oil. We have rose. We make rose oil. We make rose water. Everybody in Bulgaria write beautiful poem about rose.
Will you plant roses in Baghdad?
Planting? That sounds too poetical for me. We have other interests.
Uh-huh. And what interests are those?
The Americans, they promise us some things. If we clean up after the bombs, we fix up infrastructure, then we get old pipes and plumbings that they don't need. Very, very good old faucet.
Old faucets? Anything else?
We get car part, truck part, use up computer. We put this together, we sell to European Community. They ask us to join them, then our troubles are over.
Well, that's really going down the yellow brick uranium road to get stuff, isn't it?
What? We got those yellow bricks in Sofia, Bulgaria. That's our beautiful capital. Nearby is mountain they call Mount Vitosha. Bulgaria want to develop this mountain for ski resort. Movie star come for ski. Then we get Liz Taylor, maybe Sophia Loren. She got the same name as the capital, get it?
Those are old movie stars,
old?
Sir.
Old? What you mean old? We just get the new movie, showing Liz Taylor walk around in slip, right on mirror with lipstick. Butter in the Fields, number 8. She beautiful lady. I'm sorry she's going to have to clean off that mirror.
Well, you will have to clean up a bit more in Iraq, won't you?
Don't worry, we clean up good, and we make strong wine for American. I have dream everybody in the world someday will drink Bulgarian wine. No more fancy schmancy, fancy pants, Frenchy wines. Everybody drink Bulgaria.
Well, what if there is depleted uranium in this mess?
I got something to tell you. Then we have Bulgarian nuclear. Then the whole world will really be drinking Bulgaria wine. Smelling Bulgaria rose. No more push around Bulgaria.
Well, good luck, Vladimir D. Impaler, contemplating impending employment in Iraq.
You got extra cigarette?
Huh?
I think I have matches.
No place regimes will die with our invasion plans.
We'll attack by land and sea. Michael Jackson better flee
from Never Never Land. We'll launch our war and make him run with more missiles than he can stand.
His zoo will make it die. His amusement park will fry
in Never Never Land. We'll shoot and bomb it when we get there. We'll bring this war to a boil.
Then we'll loot and we'll rob it when we stay there.
And I hope Neverland has some oil. We sure don't need an Iraqi war. Now Saddam's and also ran.
'Cause now we're back on top with a war they just can't stop. Not now or ever. Never Neverland. Damn you, Powell, you come out with the greatest ideas sometimes.
That was Moogie Klingman in his 80-room apartment in the Upper West Side, I believe. Okay, that's his summer home. Now, do I have a question? Yes, I got a couple of questions I want to ask you. Barry Crimmins not going to make it tonight. We're going to go to the phone to him next week, okay, when we're not here. In the meantime, coming up soon will be Joe Scarborough, who'll be flacking for the war in just a couple of seconds. Or you can go to O'Reilly, who's actually working for the State Department.
Coming up on this edition of 60 Mimics, Newt Gingrich unveils Roystown, a controversial private orphanage.
Medicare cuts. Are they linked to a recent exodus to Cuba?
From Haiti, an interview with former one-man, one-vote proponent Jimmy Carter.
Lifestyles of the Religious Famous takes a look at superstar televangelist, the Reverend Pat Robertson.
We'll have all this and more on this edition of 60 Mimics. With 200 refugees aboard, a makeshift raft en route to Havana from Miami Beach, Florida, embedded itself upon a sandbar 3 miles off the Socialist Island. Although there were no injuries, the incident added further strains to the already fragile relationship between the neighboring countries. Gabriella Joseph filed this report.
Water my risky. But my condition, I'm dead if I stay anyway. I won't be able to afford the medical bills. I'll miss the dog races and the shuffleboards and all that.
With Medicare, among other once sacred senior citizen safety nets now up in the air, many of South Florida's large retired population are now risking their lives for the comfort and care of Cuba's vaunted and free national health care system.
I'm sick and live on a fixed income, so it's either Canada or Cuba.
The cars are the right price.
President Castro will continue to admit the American refugees for humanitarian reasons, but admits that sooner or later he'll have to draw the line.
And if the Americans were to need doctors, I can tell you that we can give you. But if in any neighborhood you don't have a doctor, our doctors would come to work here.
Back in Washington, Attorney General Janet Reno blamed the exodus of senior Americans on the Cuban government.
If Mr. Castro really wants to put an end to this crisis, he can. All he has to do is privatize the health care business.
Miami strongman Jorge Mascanosa was even more blunt.
If he's not stopped now, he's going to eventually infect this country with the virus of free medical access.
We now take you live to the Oval Office, where Vice President Dick Cheney and National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice are meeting with the President of the United States, George W. Bush.
What's in the papers, Condi?
Well, thousands of schizophrenics, manic depressives, drug addicts, and other mentally ill people in Oregon were cut off their medications in a drastic move to cover budget shortfalls, Mr. President.
Oregon's got the right idea. Uh-huh. And now, not only can they save money, Condi, they can make money.
Uh-huh. Well, how can they do that, Mr. President?
By taking these thousands of schizophrenics, manic depressants, drug addicts, and putting them in a football stadium where you can sell tickets to people who want to watch them act crazy. It's funny. I think it's funny. Mm-hmm. You think it's funny?
Mm-hmm. It's funny.
Crazy people are funny. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you save money, too. You make money and you save money.
That's good.
Jesus said those were the two most holy things.
Yes. But the love of money.
The love of money is the root of all evil.
Well, that's right.
Everyone knows that, I hope, in this room.
Dick, really? Yeah.
Love your enemies, but make money and save money.
Oh, yes, Mr. President.
A committee appointed by the Pennsylvania Supreme Court recommended that the state halt executions until the effects of possible racial bias in capital cases was better understood.
Pennsylvania needs to appoint another committee.
Yes.
One that gets it right.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you say that?
Sometimes you have to appoint three or four committees until you get one that gets it right. Huh?
Sometimes 20 or 30.
Yeah, I know.
So it's like getting resolutions.
Lots of committees.
You know?
Yeah.
Get a committee that's screwed up by the French.
Uh-huh. Oh, the French.
You can't halt executions just because it's recommended by some focus group of 190 million people.
Nothing.
That is rule number one.
Oh, that's right.
Executions are not to be halted.
Never.
We need to explain to Pennsylvania that to avoid claims of racial bias, you do what I did in Texas. You hire executioners who speak Mexican.
That's a good idea.
Then, when you execute a murderer who speaks Mexican, you use a Mexican-speaking executioner.
That's very good.
No problemo.
That's right.
Comprendo? No problemo.
Bueno.
No
yes,
problemo.
Yes.
You got to cover your bases. But I had a Chinese executed or a Chinese executioner. Never got to execute anybody, this Chinese executioner.
No.
But he made a mean spring roll. It was delicious. I like spring rolls on a barbecue. You ever had that, Dick?
Blackmail. Terror and mass murder. That's just the way it is.
Psycho killer.
We will bring violence and terror, and we will destroy the Iraqi people.
Psycho killer.
That's just the way it is. We're keeping them on the run. In 2 years, America has gone from a sense of democracy to the ambitions of conquest in the Middle East. And this nation is leading the world in the man-made evil of international terrorism. Just the way it is. This nation can spare the world from a plague of innocent people. A terrible disease. The disease of democracy. The disease of oppressed people. The disease of their intentions and freedom. The full force and might of the United States military will destroy the ideology of the man-made evil of international democracy. Let there be no misunderstanding. America will not accept freedom. The best way is blackmail, terror, and mass murder.
Balls, all right? right? The temerity, sorry. The temerity. But if you look it up in the dictionary, it says temerity, balls. You know, in the Spanish dictionary, it's temeriosa, it's cojones, all right? He has the balls to tell us, the human beings of the world at this point, that if we question anything that this administration does, it's we're aiding the terrorists. What? What? You know, that Americans don't mind giving up some of our freedoms. It's a small price to pay for safety. Safety does not exist. What? Me letting you listen to attorney and talking to their clients is going to make me safe? Like, where is the quid pro quo there? You know, what the hell are we protecting in America? If you can walk into my house, take my hard drive, tap my phones without even going to a judge, we are not living in a free country any longer. I mean, it's not about the longer lines at the airlines. I can handle that. I mean, not that well. I actually got in trouble several times this last trip I took. Nevertheless, I mean, there was a cop. He took my name. He took my number. He says, look, lady, if you don't like it, rent a car. Rent a car. I said, you know, I don't have a credit card. Why don't you rent a car for me, officer? I mean, I can handle the longer lines at the airlines. It's just, you know, it's about the police carting people off in the night and never hearing from them again. Like, why do we have America anymore, huh?
We now take you again live to the Oval Office, where Vice President Dick Cheney and National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice are meeting with the President of the United States, George W. Bush.
So,
yeah.
Dick,
yes?
I've decided to take advantage of my ability to make people believe that I know what I'm talking about.
Oh. Excellent idea, Mr. President.
Right. You should cash in big time with that one, Mr. President.
Yeah. I've decided to become a quack.
Oh.
I will sell my own brand of vitamins, like Gary Noll, and call myself a healer.
Oh.
Others, maybe I'll get that Wednesday spot.
Mm.
Others
awesome.
Will address me as Dr. President.
Very desirable.
No longer Mr. President.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Dr. President.
Oh, it's a good idea, Dr. President.
Yeah.
My specialty. I have the ability to diagnose a case of treason even before the actual onset of the disease.
That's good.
And my remedy is swift and final. Just like it was 87 times or something, maybe 187 times, I think it's a misprint, maybe 1,087 times during my happy days when I was governor of the Republic of Texas.
Oh, yes.
You know, treason can become contagious.
I gotta stop it before it spreads.
In the first wave, rounding up the traitors, we shall detain all voters who have registered something other than the Republican Party.
We can make the two-party system illegal.
Well, some of those parties may be favorable toward you, Dr. President. The Right to Life Party, the Conservative Party.
They're traitors, Dick.
Only registered Republicans are innocent of treason, Dick.
Yeah. Dick?
Yeah?
Want you to taste this tapioca that was just sent up from the White House.
Oh.
Try it.
Well, I'm not really hungry, Dr. President.
I insist, Dick. Try it.
Well, sounds like an executive order, Dick.
Well, he is the president, Condi.
You got that right, Dick.
Very well. I will taste the tapioca.
Open wide, Dick.
Yeah. Ooh. Mm. Oh. Mm-hmm.
Hey, Mikey likes it.
Yeah.
Ooh, would you like me to taste the tapioca, Dr. President?
You don't have to, Condi.
Huh?
Tapioca didn't kill Dick.
Uh-huh.
It won't kill you either.
Wait a minute. You mean you're trying to see if tapioca was poison, Dr. President?
Don't you read the New York Times, Dick?
Well, yeah.
They think somebody poisoned Stalin.
Oh.
Yes. While some suspect Molotov, others think perhaps Malyankov.
I remember my youth when I was flying around Texas drinking Molotov cocktails.
Oh, I love those.
As I remember, the New York Review of Books.
A little Molotov cocktails.
Yeah.
The New York.
Yeah,
review?
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt
books
you, Condi.
Intellectual journal?
Nice,
the New York Review of Books,
published the recipe on its front cover.
Not all Republicans are innocent of treason, Condi. Not all Republicans. Remember that.
Only you can make the precise diagnosis, Dr. President.
For instance, my brother Jeb, governor of that southern state full of all those old people, thought maybe I saw signs of treason there when the network announced that Al Gore had won my brother's Jeb state.
Jeb
I'm having a hard time making people understand what I'm saying right now. Mm-hmm. Let me say it again. All right? Treason down there.
Treason.
People thought in my brother's state that Al Gore had won. That's treasonous.
Well, a good doctor knows even his own brother can be taken ill.
After all, Kane slew Abel.
Yes.
Is that tapioca affecting you at all, Dick? Or are you this regularly?
No, that's page one in the Bible, Dr. President.
What do you call a professional gambler who plays Texas Hold'em carrying $50,000 in his carry-on bag on a flight to the poorest country in the nation, Tunica, Mississippi, to play in the World Series of Poker?
Well,
let's see, a potential terrorist?
That's right.
Can never be too careful, Condi. As for my brother Jeb being a traitor, it was just sibling rivalry.
Well, Cain and Abel, as I said, Dr. President.
I knew Jeb really loved me when I found out he had successfully prevented undesirable voters casting their ballots.
Your brother Jeb turned racial profiling into an art form.
Pretty good diagnostician himself.
Mm-hmm. I want the voters of rich and happy citizens.
Well, the rich are happy to give you their votes, Dr. President.
The rich are happy to be rich, Dick.
Well, yeah.
Let unhappy voters stay home. Let them ask themselves, if I'm not a felon, then why do I have the same last name as a felon?
I hate Republicans. I hate Republicans. Baby, I can't stand those Republicans. I hate that old Republican Party. The self-esteem is high. They feel no obligation. They put their faith and trust in God and corporations.
You can find all the Bush bits by going to our website, ChristmasCoup.com. I also want to do a little shout-out for our satirical colleagues at WhiteHouse.org, who just received a letter from Vice President Cheney's legal counsel citing a misuse of the official presidential seal. Somehow they managed to see a presidential seal on that a White House website, even though WhiteHouse.org uses a vulture instead of an eagle. And now,
from the Christmas Coup newsroom, CIA sources have said that Khalid Shaikh Mohammed has been finally broken after 5 days of interrogation and has admitted to being behind every terrorist act that has happened since his birth, including the space shuttle Columbia explosion over Texas. He has also admitted to being the body double for the porn star Ron Jeremy and for the late comedian John Belushi, where he played a Greek cook at a Queens diner and he kept saying, cheeseburger, cheeseburger, hamburger, hamburger.
It's unclear at this time if Mohammed himself is providing any useful information in the interrogation.
What kind of CEO?
If it's done right, meaning getting information out of him.
Most dangerous man in the world.
He is being heavily interrogated.
He's not on American soil. He doesn't have the benefits of the Constitution.
That's right.
What's the best to make him talk?
Heavily interrogated.
What's the best way?
Both Pakistani and U.S. intelligence authorities.
Well, let me ask you this
clearly,
question.
Or maybe be executed, but there's a possibility.
Will he be tortured to get information out of him? What's your answer?
Well,
and I'm not sure a lot of Americans would object to it terribly.
Anticipating that they could be next.
No, I don't think they would unless they actually saw it.
Sheikh Mohammed.
What?
Sheikh Mohammed.
What?
They could be next.
What?
Sheikh Mohammed.
What?
Sheikh Mohammed.
What? Unless they actually saw it.
What?
There could be other things other than torture.
What's the best way to make him talk?
Maybe be executed.
Butcher attacks, but you said, if it's done right, meaning getting information out of him, how is it done right? What are the ways?
Maybe be executed.
In Panama, former President George Bush testified in his own behalf in the trial relating to his role in the invasion of that country back in 1989. As Richard Corey reports from the courthouse, it may have been Mr. Bush's last stand.
Defense lawyers began the afternoon hoping to recover from testimony offered by former President Ronald Reagan, who ironically was Mr. Bush's main character witness.
In your long experience with the defendant, did you ever see him break the law?
No, I never saw him break the law. That's because we had an agreement. If we were to break the law, especially international law, I would be shielded from that information, and he would do it on his own. And therefore, I would not know if he broke the law in my behalf.
Thank you, Mr. Reagan.
Wait a second.
Hoping to recover from Mr. Reagan's testimony in what seems to be an ironclad case presented by the prosecution, Defendant Bush took the stand after the morning recess and tried to soften his image.
Sure, I know where I was on the night of the bombing. Got it right here in my log. Let me see. I was playing Santa Claus to a group of young Latin American boys down there in Fort Benning, down there in the South.
But during cross-examination, he seemed to have lost his cool and started naming names.
Hey, don't blame me, pal. Blame Reagan. In fact, you ought to get him while he's still here, you know? Because if you think what I did was wrong, forget about it. Then you have Weinberger, you got Meese, you got Abrams, and then you got Schultz, that fat bastard.
After his testimony, Mr. Bush was taken to a local hospital and treated for exhaustion and depression. Closing arguments in the case begin Monday, and until that time, the former president will be under a 24-hour suicide watch. For 60 Mimics, I'm Richard Corey.
And this is the CCCP, the Christmas Cool Comedy Players, first Thursday of the month, Laughing Nightmare, and we'll be taking your calls soon. We have an assortment of presidential figures in the room, and
a lot of men.
And we have a talk show host, Chris Matthews,
and
here.
Talk show host.
I'm going to be here for just a couple of seconds. I got to go back to my studio. I got a lot of calling to do tonight.
He doesn't want to talk too much to you, but he will shout you down.
Say about that Bernard White. I don't like the way he puts his hat back on backwards. I think it's a little weird, but he's a pretty good... I think he does a good job, but why does he wear his hat sideways sometimes?
His hat sideways.
And Robert Knight, the way he walks around, makes me nervous sometimes. We'll talk about that later.
Blix. Generals gathered in their masses. With Hans Blix at the helm. Blix.
Camp Commando.
Blitz. This is a UN operation, remember. Blitz. Hans. Blitz. Sorcerer of
death construction. The U.S. military now installing a new command center at a heavily guarded...
Blitz. Blitz.
In the fields of bodies burning...
Listen to me. I think one of the keys here, Bob, is that we get access to scientists and officials. Remember, we can interview scientists anytime, any place, anyone.
The wait is over.
We have the authority to take them out of the country and their families, to intimidate them. Unfortunately, scientists and their families have met an untimely death when they returned to Iraq, but
the wait,
we need access to these scientists
is over.
And their families.
We do have stories now that we have officials for Saddam hiding things in their homes.
Daddy.
And now there are rumors that ordinary Iraqis could be hiding key weapons parts.
Dad, the weapons there's nuclear bombs in the fridge.
Ray. And chemical bombs.
Dad.
Could you keep it? I'm trying to do this thing for the radio.
There's nukes in the fridge.
Put that thing down.
You could put your eye out with that
Don't
thing.
Touch that.
Kids drag in the darndest thing.
There's anthrax in the peanut butter.
Stop playing with your food.
In their home.
Today, kids are bringing home Iraqis.
Where is your chemical weapons, Doctor?
What's this, Daddy?
Kaboom dissolves rust stains.
These Iraqis are driving me crazy.
That's for ethnic cleansing.
Even this black buildup.
They want your oil.
Even if they've been there a while.
What can I do?
Use Kaboom to maintain your store.
Wow Chemical has the answer.
Kaboom is amazing.
Iraqi Go.
Give me some falafel.
Is it hard to use?
Just point and spray.
It's right before your eyes.
No more Iraqi.
Cool.
And my floor is so shiny.
Where's my Iraqi?
And you'll never see that build up again.
Call to order Kaboom. As a special TV offer, you receive
Turn
two
down
30
the television.
Glass
People are hiding things in houses and schools and other places.
What's this button do?
Don't touch that.
Mother Mackenzie. Is there a scud in your pocket?
Well, you're a curious young lad. Come on over here to Father.
Call now.
Iraqi Go by the makers of Atheist Motel.
I remember my son when he heard the B-52 over his head. I put my hand on his heart, and I felt his heart bumping like crazy.
Lala Zane. Boop, do the same.
Mr. President.
Mr. President. Yeah. Morning.
Condi, Dick, sit down.
Oh, thank you.
You two look worried already. Very worried, freaked out this morning.
Well,
what's going on?
Oh, well, no, we're not freaked out, Mr. President.
No, Mr. President is just concerned.
This morning, by the way, it occurred to me that I could send fighter jets to bomb the Canadian side of Niagara Falls. And so I did.
You attacked Canada, Mr. President?
Well, I'm sure they deserved it, Mr. President.
Of course they deserved it. Yeah. Director of Communications for Canada, anyway, the person that works for this man, called me some name that I view as negative. It has a negative connotation to it. She called me, now get this, a moron.
Oh, well.
I have decided to prove to the world that I'm not a moron.
Well, they say it's hard to prove a negative, Mr. President.
I'm not going to prove a negative, Dick.
Oh?
Understand that?
No.
I'm going to prove that I'm not a moron.
I see.
Perhaps we could get the Supreme Court to issue a decree saying you are not a moron.
I don't want to push my luck with the Supreme Court.
Well, better safe than sorry.
I can't have them ruling 5-4 that I'm a moron or that I'm not a moron.
No, of course not.
I'm sure we could get 6-3, Mr. President.
I'm taking another route, Condi.
Ah.
Dick, the FBI tells me you have an extensive collection of moron jokes.
Well, yes, I do, Mr. President.
Seems like a strange thing to collect, Dick.
Well,
I know by the few moron jokes that I do know that I'm not a moron.
Well, that's
certainly not, Mr. President.
Okay, here's what we do.
What?
We check out each other, okay, each and every moron joke we can, and get our hands on it.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone that's out there.
Yeah.
And then figure out how to prove that it doesn't apply to me,
well,
George W. Bush.
Okay. We will clear your name, Mr.
Please.
President.
Condi, have you ever seen me throw a clock out the window?
Well, I never saw you throw anything out the window, Mr. President.
A clock, Condi.
Oh.
Not throwing a clock out the window proves that I'm not a moron.
That's right. The moron threw the clock out the window because he wanted to see time fly.
I don't care what the moron wanted to see, Dick.
No,
I don't care what the hell he wanted to see.
No.
Not throwing a clock out the window proves that I'm not a moron because I never threw out a clock.
See, it's definitive proof.
Okay?
Right.
I have never tiptoed past the medicine cabinet, okay?
Mm.
Never tiptoed.
No.
That proves I'm not a moron.
Certainly does, Mr. President.
Well, you don't need any more proof than that, Mr. President.
I don't tiptoe. Never have.
You
ever.
Are, no, you...
I've never tiptoed.
You are not a tiptoer, Mr. President.
And besides, you can't wake up a sleeping pill. I happen to know that.
That's right, Mr. President.
I've taken plenty of my lifetime when I was doing a lot of cocaine to put myself to sleep so I could wake up and do some more cocaine. So you can't wake up a sleeping pill.
No, no, it can't happen, Mr. President. Mm-hmm. And the moron thought it could.
Yes.
Okay, I don't like lightning.
I don't either, Mr. President.
Well, no one likes lightning.
A moron does. Oh. He thinks someone has taken his picture.
Well, it
proves... Okay, so I don't like lightning.
Well, that definitely proves you're not a moron, Mr. President.
I have never climbed a glass wall to see what's on the other side.
That's a good point, Mr. President.
Exactly.
Yes.
Okay, if I wanted to see what was on the other side of a glass wall, I would hit it with a big sledgehammer and smash it to bits. In case of emergency, of course, I'd break the glass.
Well, it's why you are the president.
They wanted to confuse a moron, so they put him in a round room and told him to sit in one corner. Okay?
Yeah.
The people put me in a round room. They put me in a round room. It's called the Oval Office.
That's right.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
I sit at a desk. I don't have time to look for a corner in that Oval Office, and it's always been oval ever since I've been there.
And a president is busy.
Yes.
I have discovered that my AM radio is broadcasting in the PM as well as in the AM.
Really?
I discovered it.
No.
Both AM, PM, I discovered this myself. This is also what the moron discovered about his AM radio, okay?
Yeah, right, no,
but the moron didn't know what to do about it, and I do.
What?
I know about it, okay?
What?
I am ordering the FCC to mandate that round-the-clock AM stations reclassify themselves as AM / PM stations.
Well, you've made radio honest, Mr. President.
I can almost walk on water, Condi, especially when I'm doing acid.
Mr. President, what do you do if a moron throws a grenade at you?
I'd kill the son of a bitch.
Well,
you'd be within your rights, Mr. President.
Well, how would you kill him, Mr. President?
I would drop an atomic bomb on the place of his birth and poison the reservoir that supplies water to his place of residence. What are you, foolish?
No.
Come on.
This is good thinking, Mr. President.
You know, if a moron throws a grenade at you, Mr. President, you are supposed to pull the pin and throw it back at him.
Only a real moron would do that, Dick.
Wow. This is just a joke.
If a moron throws a grenade at me as a president of the United States, I cannot consider that a joke.
No,
I can't consider it a joke.
It is a crime to throw anything at an elected government official.
Yeah, but the moron doesn't pull the pin.
Still a crime.
Well,
maybe the moron is a moron who already heard this moron joke, okay, about the moron and the grenade.
Yeah.
So he gets a booby-trap grenade that goes off when you pull the pin.
A moron who could devise such a plan wouldn't be a moron.
No, he'd be a mad genius.
I devised that plan.
Oh.
Proof, once and for all, that you are not a moron, Mr. President.
Well, perhaps we should call off that air attack on Niagara Falls now, then.
The war with Canada shall continue.
Well,
no one will notice.
Do you know what happened to the moron ice hockey team, by the way?
They drowned in spring training, Dick.
Yeah.
I did not hear of that tragedy. You want to elaborate?
Well, it's a joke, Mr. President.
They didn't know the ice would melt. Hmm?
If they were an ice hockey team from Canada, hey, I'm kind of glad that they drowned.
I think the president should be given authority of a nature that makes clear that the Congress understands the relationship of the Iraq issue to other issues in the area and does not just deal with it, doesn't just look at it in Iraq terms, and that the president is given
a fair and balanced debate coming up.
Adequate flexibility.
The attack provoked new tensions.
Deal with
Muslims in the province where 1,000 people were killed earlier this year.
And that the president is given adequate flexibility to deal with.
After another deadly attack this week, the victims were tied up and shot at point blank range.
Deal with.
Follow me, lads. The war's this way.
Over the past year, at least 36 people have been killed.
So will Challenger 2 be one of the last great big battle tanks?
Spend 100 in attacks on churches.
The tank is extremely expensive to run. It's not mobile strategically.
I'm now most concerned about
extended
the issue of Iraq.
And when troops hit the ground in tough, inhospitable environments, they must have confidence in their training and equipment when facing opponents who fight with extreme conditions every day.
This program is brought to you by Ace Terminator, Dawn of Fate.
The Slayer, tonight at 11 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Pacific.
Of Iraq. Of Iraq.
The Americans, as usual, they spent the most. The Arleigh Burke destroyers cost around $570 million each, with 56 Tomahawks and a bunch of other missiles, torpedoes and guns aboard. An awesome destroyer with the capability to do everything a warship commander would ever want.
Of Iraq. I would focus on Iraq. Toleration by government of Iraq. Of terrorist group of Iraq.
Seven Pakistani Christians.
Because they are afraid of Iraq.
Were murdered.
of Iraq, of the consequences of Iraq.
After gunmen burst into
Iraq.
Think about this. This of Iraq is better
of not tolerating of Iraq
than even going to the Holy Land.
Of Iraq. The victims were tied up and shot
of Iraq.
Because you're going to get things on here that on a normal Holy Land trip you wouldn't get.
Up and shot at point blank range.
And you're going to get the explanation.
And secondly, by the perception.
This.
And you can watch it over
this.
And over
this.
And over.
1,000 people were killed earlier this year.
Until you get the understanding in your heart and in your spirit.
This is
a partner in investigating more than 2,800 individuals and sharing intelligence with the United States, arresting over 200 suspects, including Al-Qaeda members.
Here's another part that's helping this prophecy to come to pass. Now look where I'm showing you here.
Worldwide.
French have style. The Lafayette is a smaller surface warship, but its sleek and sexy design sneaks it into the test.
Incredible. Okay, are we ready to see the new Camden? Now remember.
Carries less weaponry.
This is what Camden looked like before.
A futuristic look.
Unthinkably thick. Frighteningly grizzly.
Minimized radar cross-section.
Or lifelessly limp.
It's ideal for sneaky missions.
Forget about struggling with flat iron.
8 exocets and 24 surface-to-air missiles are carried.
Add height.
Along with space for a helicopter.
Just watch.
A lovely looker with slender but special vital tech specs.
It really works.
I think there's a potential to do something extraordinarily positive for a lot of people and extraordinarily positive for our security here, not without huge risk, substantial risk, but the risk of waiting, I've concluded, are greater than those of acting now.
Markets are changing. No 2 days are ever the same at a global level. The picture, which will be the economic, the business, the financial history of our era.
World Business Today.
The opinions expressed on viewer comments reflect the views of those who choose to take part in this open forum.
World Business Today.
Unthinkably thick. Frighteningly frizzy.
And in the real world of war, bullets do hurt.
Or lifelessly limp.
Stop the shot. You'll need body armor.
The opinions expressed on viewer comments reflect the views of those who choose to take part in
look where I'm showing you here.
Just watch.
After another deadly attack this week,
you'll need body armor.
Terrorist group.
You're not without huge risk.
So even if you take one between the eyes, you'll be able to recover your body.
Substantial risk. And those of acting.
World Business Today.
So you folks like to stay up late at night? Listen to this show, and I'll tell you where to go to Gary Knoll.
And you've been listening to the CCCP. That's the Christmas Coup Comedy Players. First Thursday of the month, Laughing Nightmare. If you want to get in touch with us, contact ChristmasCoup.com. We are here with Randy Credico, David Dozer, John McDonough, Elizabeth McDonough, Mark Kehoe, Moogie Klingman, Lindley Farley, Scooter, The Happy Tones, Ingrid Held, 60 Mimics, and me, Janet Coleman, with special guest Reno, technical direction by Christopher Zagouras. See you next month.
Wait a second, I have one more thing to say.
Yes?
Maybe we can commission Gary Knoll to find out. Give him like a 6-month study of how we got this job and why we're on so often.
400 hours that will take, that study.